Elland didn't really care. He just wanted Yeoman occupied as long as possible.
"Then choose a champion," he said. "I'll fight him instead."
"Only a Mistborn would be a match for you," Yeoman said.
"Then send one against me."
"Alas, I have none. I won my kingdom through fairness, legality, and the Lord Ruler's grace, not through threat of assassination, like yourself."
"No Mistborn, you say," Elland thought, smiling. "So your fairness, legality, and grace don't preclude lying?"
"You would really let your people die?" Elland said loudly, sweeping his hand across the room.
More and more people were gathering to watch.
"All because of your pride?"
"Pride," Yeoman said, leaning forward. "You call it pride to defend your own rule? I call it pride to march your armies into another man's kingdom, seeking to intimidate him with barbaric monsters."
"Monsters your own Lord Ruler created and used to intimidate and conquer as well," Elland said.
Yeoman paused.
"Yes, the Lord Ruler created the Koloss," he said. "It was his prerogative to determine how they were used. Besides, he kept them far away from civilized cities. Yet you marched them right up to our doorstep."
"Yes," Elland said. "And they haven't attacked. That's because I can control them as the Lord Ruler did. Wouldn't that suggest that I have inherited his right to rule?"
Yeoman frowned, perhaps noticing that Elland's arguments kept changing, that he was saying whatever came to mind in order to keep the discussion going.
"You may be unwilling to save this city," Elland said, "but there are others in it who are wiser. You don't think I came here without allies, do you?"
Yeoman paused again.
"Yes," Elland said, scanning the crowd. "You're not just fighting me, Yeoman. You're fighting your own people. Which ones will betray you when the time comes? How well can you trust them, exactly?"
Yeoman snorted.
"Idle threats, Venture. What is this really about?"
However, Elland could tell that his words bothered Yeoman. The man didn't trust the local nobility. He would have been a fool to do so. Elland smiled, preparing his next argument. He could keep this discussion going for quite some time. For if there was one thing in particular that he had learned by growing up in his father's house, it was this: how to annoy people.
"You have your distraction, Vin," Elland thought. "Let's hope you can end the fight for this city before it really begins."
Each spike, positioned very carefully, can determine how the recipient's body is changed by hemology. A spike in one place creates a monstrous, near mindless beast. In another place, a spike will create a crafty, yet homicidal inquisitor. Without the instinctive knowledge granted by taking the power at the Well of Ascension, Rashik would never have been able to use hemology. With his mind expanded, and with a little practice, he was able to intuit where to place spikes that would create the servants he wanted. It is a little-known fact that the Inquisitor's torture chambers were actually hemologic laboratories. The Lord Ruler was constantly trying to develop new breeds of servant. It is a testament to hemology's complexity that, despite 1,000 years of trying, he never managed to create anything with it beyond the 3 kinds of creatures he developed during those few brief moments holding the power.
44. Vin crept down the stone stairwell, small sounds echoing eerily from below. She had no torch or lantern, and the stairwell was not lit, but enough light reflected up from below to let her tin-enhanced eyes see. The more she thought about it, the more the large basement made sense. This was the Canton of Resource, the arm of the ministry that had been in charge of feeding the people, maintaining the canals, and supplying the other cantons. Vin supposed that this basement had once been well stocked with supplies. If the cache really was here, It would be the first that she had discovered hidden beneath a canton of resource building. Vin expected great things from it. What better place to hide your atium and your most important resources than with an organization that was in charge of transportation and storage across the entire empire? The stairwell was simple, utilitarian, and steep. Vin wrinkled her nose at the musty air, which seemed all the more stuffy to her tin-enhanced sense of smell. Still, she was grateful for Tin's enhanced vision, not to mention the enhanced hearing, which let her hear clinking armor below, an indication that she needed to move quite carefully. And so she did. She reached the bottom of the stairwell and peeked around the corner. Three narrow stone corridors split off from the stairwell landing, each heading in a different direction at 90-degree angles. The sounds were coming from the right, and as Vin leaned out a bit more, she nearly jumped as she saw a pair of guards standing lazily against the wall a short distance away. Guards standing in the corridors, Vin thought, ducking back into the stairwell. Yeoman definitely wants to protect something down here. Vin crouched down on the rough, cool stone. Pewter, steel, and iron were of relatively little use at the moment. She could take down both guards, but it would be risky, since she couldn't afford to make any noise. She didn't know where the cache was, and therefore couldn't afford to make a disturbance. Not yet. Vin closed her eyes, burning brass and zinc. She carefully and slowly soothed the emotions of the two soldiers. She heard them settle back, leaning against the side of the corridor. Then she rioted their sense of boredom, tugging on that single emotion. She peeked around the corner again, keeping the pressure on, waiting. One of the men yawned. A few seconds later, the other one did. Then they both yawned at once, and Vin scuttled straight across the landing and into the shadowed hallway beyond. She pressed herself up against the wall, heart beating quickly, and waited. No cry came, though one of the guards did mumble something about being tired. Vin smiled in excitement. It had been a long time since she'd had to truly sneak. She had spied and scouted, but had trusted on the mists, the darkness, and her ability to move quickly to protect her. This was different. It reminded her of the days when she and Reen had burgled houses. What would my brother say now, she wondered, patting down the corridor on unnaturally light, quiet feet. He'd think I've gone crazy, sneaking into a building not for wealth, but for information. To Reen, life had been a